Ahoy! You're listening to Diffuse Tap with Kenny Estes and Isla Krem. Today we are joined by Emily Landon and Trevor Talley of the Crypto Recruiters. We're going to be talking about the crypto talent market over the last 18 months. Red flags to look out for as people from collapsing firms have flooded the market, and whether TradFi people are actually cut out for crypto leadership roles. Enjoy. All right. Welcome back, one and all. Hopefully you had good conversations in the chat room, as always. If this is your first time, you're probably confused. So here's what's on tap. This is a weekly event. We do, this is the 198th time we have done this. Yeah. We're going to briefly talk about, oh, Trevor, if you wouldn't mind staying on mute until we're ready for you, that'd be great. There we go. And then, so we're going to briefly talk about Diffuse Tap, the event we're in right now. And then we're going to talk about, oh God, my hands are backwards. Diffuse Funds, the company putting it on. We are going to have you come away from this a little bit more intelligent. So 15-minute Q&A with the speakers du jour, which are Emily and Trevor. And then we're going to do two more rounds of tap rooms. Basically what you just experienced, a little bit longer with the topic, because this is mostly a networking event. You, the audience, are primarily alternative investors or play in the alternative investment space with a particular focus upon crypto. So you can talk about crypto and alternative investing. Get together, rapid fire for groups of four or five, just chance to network and see what comes out of it. But like I said, we want you to learn a little bit, which is why we have folks like Emily and Trevor on to share some of their wisdom. If you like the networking aspect of this, we do an in-person version periodically, which you heard Mr. Culver talking about with Isla. The next one is April 30th in Chicago, and I will most likely be at that one. Emily is doing the woot woot. So if you're around Chicago on April 3rd, come check it out. Diffuse Funds is the folks putting this on, me and Isla kind of at the helm. We are primarily a fund platform, so we try to find interesting fund opportunities, mostly in crypto, and well, turn them into funds. We have a Diffuse Digital 30 product, which is a market. It's basically trying to be the S&P for crypto. Top 30 instead of 500. It's a way to get diversified exposure to crypto assets. We are looking to scale up right now. For anybody who comes in, we're actually giving a little bit GP profit interest. So if you're interested, let us know. And we can help facilitate that. That's enough about us. Today's speaker with their speakers, plural, with their amazingly AI generated, I love those photos, Isla. AI generated photos are Emily Landon and Trevor Talley. Tell you what, Emily, because you're on my left here, you want to unmute yourself, tell the good folks a bit about your background, what you're up to over the Crypto Recruiters, and then turn it over to Trevor.
Well, thank you. Hi, guys. My name is Emily Landon. Everybody calls me the Crypto Recruiter. I've been in the space for the last 4 years. We are the first woman-owned crypto recruiting firm in the world. We're one of the original top five, and we're ranked number one in the U.S. Yeah. I help people find crypto jobs, and I help my clients staff their teams, and I advise different companies on hiring trends. And we also offer HR services, so we come in and stand up HR departments. So that's a little bit about us. My background is financial services. I came from companies like Discover and Amex. So it was a very natural transition for me into the crypto space. So I founded Land on Top, which is the parent company to the Crypto Recruiters. We have a team of 20 and we are rocking and rolling.
Land on Top, your last name being Landon. Yes?
Yes.
I just got that. That's brilliant. Thank you for that. Trevor, over to you. Please unmute and thank you both for coming and tell the good folks a bit about yourself.
Yes. So I've been with the company, Crypto Recruiters, for a little bit over in 2.5 years. Do have a recruiting background. I've been doing it for over a decade in some capacity, working more for healthcare, biotech, pharmaceuticals, and then working in this industry as well, too. Right. So really, really love the ability to connect with all sorts of different people. As Emily mentioned, we do work with different clients and helping them to scale their organization. But we also help people that are looking to make that transition from kind of quote unquote more traditional organizations as well, too, that want to be in blockchain, crypto, and Web3. And my title is the Director of Strategic Partnerships. So I focus on that primarily. I still do some business development and I focus on a lot of educational and in-person events and networking and being able to teach people as much as we possibly can. And that's why we're pleased to be here today.
Amazing. Thank you both for coming. Emily, first question for you, and we'll make it topical. Bitcoin hit new highs overnight, which is super exciting for us. I primarily blame BlackRock for that development, and I'm seeing more and more institutions piling into the space. So how are you seeing that play out from a recruiting lens?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, institutions are 100% entering the space and they're hiring like crazy. I think a lot of them are quietly hiring because they're not necessarily announcing that they're getting into it right this second. So we're seeing a lot of institutions that are starting that process. So they're building up the teams, but we're seeing an influx in hiring incredibly, which is great because there's a lot of people with an institutional background that crypto startups aren't necessarily interested in. Crypto startups are concerned that people that come from an enterprise background move slowly, which is not necessarily true. That's just the opinion that they have. So when institutions start to get into the space, it opens up the candidate network. So more people are able to get into crypto.
So are you actually seeing, because institutions are doing more of it, you're seeing a lot spin out because they're too slow and just the market pool is getting bigger and bigger?
No, I just see that crypto startups have a stigma against people that come from these large enterprises, right? So I work with a lot of candidates and my clients completely shut down those applications because they need someone that's fast paced. So for example, JP Morgan Onyx, right? I have a plethora of candidates that come from Onyx and my startups just aren't necessarily interested. So now that institutions are coming in, they're going to be interested in the candidates that come from Onyx. So it just allows us to place more candidates in the space. That's just been a big objection that we have from our startups. Not everyone, but a lot of them.
Nah, I get it. They're trying to uproot the system, so don't necessarily want to hire the man. I get the argument. Trevor, anything you want to add on that topic?
No, definitely to add on to that is that, you know, these larger traditional quote-unquote firms and organizations, they, as we mentioned, like Onyx is one example, right? You know, Fidelity, digital assets. There are so many of these organizations that have been around for quite some time. And behind the scenes, they were doing a lot of work when it comes to blockchain and using that technology. But in the public, that wasn't as, you know, obvious or transparent. And a lot of these organizations are starting to make their intentions known now publicly, even though people like Emily and I have known that this has been going on behind the scenes for 3 or 4 years now. It's actually coming out to light. And that's giving an opportunity for us to obviously work with different clients and to grow and bring on new business, but it also gives an opportunity for people that may have been traditionally shut out because, quote unquote, they didn't have 5 to 10 years of experience with blockchain or Web3 or crypto. Now they are starting to let people in that at least have a baseline knowledge, or those that are passionate are looking to kind of take the bull by the horns, if you will, and be very entrepreneurial within a more quote unquote traditional established business, if that makes sense.
It does. And an idle comment, somebody with 10 years of experience in blockchain hopefully isn't working for a job at this point. But yeah, Emily, when we did our prep call, a question there, you kind of came up with this concept of active versus passive talent and kind of how you view that in your recruiting process. You want to kind of opine on that a little bit?
Yeah. So active talent are those that are looking for new jobs actively. Passive talent are those that are just open to new opportunities. They're just casually exploring the market. A lot of times our clients are looking for passive candidates. The thought process, and here's the thing, guys, you know, we're dealing with human psychology when someone's hiring, right? We're dealing with the impression that the hiring manager is getting. So I'm not saying this is true, I'm just relaying the information from my clients. So when we do come across an applicant that is actively searching, the thought in the back of the mind is, well, why? Why are they looking for a new job, right? And that automatically raises red flags. And dealing with psychology, the brain just leans towards the negative. So we're making negative assumptions. So it's always easier to find a job when you have a job. So you can be actively looking, but if you're still employed, that gives you a leg up. If you are passively looking, companies are more interested in hiring you because you're happy where you're at. You know, you're stable, you're satisfied, you're obviously being successful. So I think that's the difference between active and passive. Our clients always prefer passive, but that doesn't mean that that shuts the door for active talent. It's just kind of a challenge that we have and the thought process.
Curious, do you think that generally passive versus active are also better quality candidates, or is it more just that's a stigma?
I think it's a stigma. I fully disagree with it. I think that if you're looking for a job, there's definitely a reason, but that doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong with you. It could be a bad culture fit. It could be you were oversold the job, right? How many times has that happened to us where we're told a job is one thing, we get in there and it's something completely different, right? And if you're not looking for that career trajectory, you're going to want to leave. So I think, you know, part of my responsibility is really opening the minds of the hiring managers and also telling the backstory, right? And that's where a recruiter really is helpful, because we can advocate on your behalf and say, hey, I know they're actively looking, but here's why. Whereas if you were just submitting a resume, you don't get to tell that backstory. And that's really the key to success. So that's where a recruiter helps as well.
Gotcha. Trevor, do you want to opine on the active-passive discussion?
Yeah, you know, building on top of what Emily had mentioned when it comes to being active or passive, I think that a lot of people in this industry, because it is, you know, there has been times where there's been volatility and some uncertainty. I think that people that are even quote unquote happy with their job, right, and that there's nothing necessarily going on or there's no reason for them to actively be looking, those people are starting to be more open-minded and always kind of being open to the potential of having a conversation. And, you know, I get people that reach out to me, and I'm sure that Emily has people that reach out to her, that they're quite content in their role, but they're always open to hearing about opportunities because of the uncertainty of some of the aspects of this industry. So people that are, you know, very well and successful in their roles, they're starting to go to networking events. They're starting to have conversations and just kind of have a recruiter or multiple recruiters in their back pocket and building that relationship several months in advance of them actually wanting to leave. So, you know, you always kind of have to be keeping one foot in and one foot out and always have a backup plan. I think that that's something that's really important in this space.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess, networking is important. I think we're preaching to the choir in this room in particular, though. So yeah, absolutely get what you're saying. Now, there's a theme, both from Merzin and Dipin, both, and we'll go back to traditional executives spinning out and kind of looking to get into crypto. Emily, you already touched on the stigma against traditional crypto folks. So kind of what is the difference when you're placing? What do crypto executives, what are they looking for? What's important to them versus more of a traditional? And then how are you helping bridge that gap? What are the key conversation points with the potential hiring companies?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge when working with a recruiter is my client is coming to me for the perfect person, right? It's got to be like absolutely what they're looking for if they're going to invest into my service. So that's where I shut doors for some people. So I'm always encouraging people to reach out to me for connections, right? If I can make a valuable connection for you, I don't need anything in return, but I'd love to help you get your foot in the door. But there are some things that my clients simply won't engage me for. So that being said, when it comes to the talent, I think there's a huge benefit towards not working with a recruiter if you're more junior. Companies are looking for those that have experience, but they're still willing to give people a chance. But experience has really been number one for us. And so that's where it comes to my role educating our client. Hey, here's some great transferable skills. That person with 10 years of experience that you really want to hire, they started somewhere too and gained that experience. And that's proven results that someone without the experience can maintain or can be successful in the role that you need them to be successful in. So I think experience trumps all. If you have any sort of crypto experience, you have a leg up because you understand the ecosystem. You're moving in a very fast pace. And that's what people are looking for. Do you understand blockchain? Because there's some people that just can't wrap their minds around it. And I'm not shitting on anybody. I'm just saying that there's some people where it takes a little bit longer for them to grasp onto the concept and companies don't have time to ramp them up. So I think the number one thing is knowledge, research, understand, have a good working information on the technology. Things that people are not looking for or really not paying attention to are college degrees, unless you're in computer science. So any of my marketing, even I've had finance roles that haven't required degrees. I think that's something that's kind of going to the wayside. I've hired 18-year-olds that have skipped out on college that are brilliant developers. So that's kind of what I would say there.
Okay, that makes sense. So it did, yeah. So traditional executives obviously having crypto knowledge. From the other side, crypto executives, what are they looking for? What are the main perks that they care about when they're seeking a job versus, I don't know, living and working in Manhattan at a JP Morgan, right?
Absolutely. So I think the biggest thing is culture, because culture fit is key. A lot of executives want to work at a company where there's an adult in the room. I think previously we dealt with a lot of really untenured founders, which is fine. But I think these executives are coming in and really looking for a more professional organization. There's still those that are very happy to scale these very less tenured teams. But I'm noticing that a lot of people are looking for more organization when they join up a company. Additionally, they're looking for equity, especially if it's a high level executive. But crypto companies are giving equity to pretty much everybody, which I think is great, from the executives down to the graphic designers. So that's kind of what they're looking for. But I would say culture fit is king.
Okay. Trevor, you want to jump in on the traditional versus crypto executive and what they're looking for, both sides?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that at the high level, from those that are looking as executives to get into a, you know, early stage or startup kind of crypto blockchain company, they're looking for autonomy, right? As Emily mentioned, they are looking for to be amongst a group of other adults in the room where everyone can work independently, but still come together and work together as a group, right? They're looking for the ability to work remote. They're looking for the ability to, you know, even if they're going to say from the management level that you can work remote, that they actually truly have the ability to work remote. There's been some times where companies hire people and they say, well, you can work fully remote. And then that person might be based in the US and then they go and set up shop in Venezuela. And then they're like, well, no, we meant you can work remote, but not like that, right? So, and then people have that pushback. Well, it's like, well, I'm getting my job done and it doesn't really matter what time zone I'm in. So they're looking for things like that. And they're just looking for these organizations as well to have individuals that are very sharp, very smart, that are abreast of the technology and that are pushing the boundaries as well.
Okay, that all makes perfect sense. And Trevor, I'll stick on you for a second. Dipin had a great question. Would love your thoughts. When I grew up, my dad always said you had to be somewhere minimum 2 years, because if you're there for less than 2 years, it's a massive knock. Dipin's point is that most people at crypto have like three jobs, right? They got their part-time jobs, they're doing different things, a lot of turnover. Is that kind of, you know, minimum 2-3 years? Is that a just traditional kind of out the window? People aren't actually looking for that anymore? Or how are you seeing that in the crypto world?
I would say it's definitely not 3 years. I mean, 2 years, gosh, as I mentioned before earlier in the breakout room, you know, in this space, a lot happens in a year. So that 2 years is ideal. There are hiring managers that are still looking for that stability, right? So they want to see that. And I think that the average is lower than 2 years, 1.5 or so. I think that is last time I checked, but you know, they still want to see stability. They still don't want to see multiple job hopping. They don't want to see someone work in an organization for 6 months, 3 months gap. They work somewhere else for 4 months, 4 months gap, and then 6 months. So there is, it's very consistent with the traditional type of job market. They're looking for that, but they're looking for someone as well, too. If you are doing multiple jobs, that's okay, right? You can have fractional work. You can be in advising and doing things like that. But when it comes to actually, you know, presenting that on a resume or your LinkedIn profile, they're going to want to see a majority of your time being focused in one organization. And if you are doing these other things, maybe that can be something that you just kind of keep to the side until you actually get into that organization. And you can then expand on that or maybe talk about that once you've actually gotten the opportunity to have the interview with someone in the organization. Because it could be looked down up on as that you're not really certain or that you're not really going to be fully committed to that particular project. And we've had that situation happen. You know, I remember we've had people that we placed and they say, yeah, you know, I'm not working any other jobs or, you know, I'm not really doing that. And then they come to find out that when they're supposed to be working during the regular business, quote unquote, hours, then the founder can't find this individual and they're off working and doing some other project. And that obviously looks negatively upon them. And then that reflects badly upon us as well.
Understood. Emily, anything you want to add on the tenure debate?
Yeah. Average tenure is 7 months to 1.5 years. Wow. And anything under a year is definitely a red flag, right? There's hiring managers that say, you know, if you haven't been at the company a year, you really haven't like had a full understanding of the product. I do think that, you know, there's a lot of toxicity in crypto, which is why people tend to make a move. And there's also a lot of potential opportunity. So I think one of the challenges is, like, specifically with developers, like, they come into a project, they make it very successful, and then they dip onto something else. Don't blame them, but that's kind of what's happening. So our hiring managers, every single one of them really wants that stability in a resume, because if they're going to give you equity, they want to make sure you're going to stay long term. But average tenure, seven months to 1.5 years.
Fascinating. Okay. And with that, we are, well, actually over time. So we are going to go into another tap room again. Emily, Trevor, thank you so much for your thoughts. Tap room stuff. Networking, not pitching. Please be respectful of that. Be kind to one another. Again, I'm bummed I have to say that, but here we are. We do not do a full participant list. So if you meet somebody that you want to connect with, the best bet is to swap details then and there in the tap room, or join the Telegram group. Say hello. Tell people what you're up to or what's on your mind. It's a good conversation and keeps everybody up to date with one another. Tap rooms themselves, typically you kind of do a round the horn. Everybody introduces themselves for 30 seconds or so, and then you discuss the topic. And that topic is...
What is a role that you wish you could recruit for right now? Developers, marketers, compliance people, what is a role you wish you could recruit for right now? I'll pop you into a room now, and we'll see you back in about 10 minutes.
All right. Hopefully, as always, good chats in the tap rooms, because that's what y'all are here for. Isla is going to furiously shuffle the rooms, and we're going to fill the air by asking, I'll start with Emily. Tell us the future. What are you excited by? What's coming down the pipe? And you are muted, in case that was something to consider.
Thank you so much. What is the future? I think the future is really resumes. I'm excited to see how those evolve. I don't think we're going to be using the standard one pager, two page resume anymore. I think we're going to evolve into God knows what. You know, I know some people here aren't into NFTs, but it could be an NFT resume. It could just be a mobile wallet that's a resume that you can connect and merge in with different applicant tracking systems. So I think I'm excited to see what happens with resumes.
NFT resumes kind of goes into soulbound tokens in some degree. So that's interesting. Trevor, your turn. Future talent.
I'm just really interested to see how not only blockchain, Web3, and crypto evolve, but the convergence of how that intertwined with other cutting edge and emerging technologies. So, you know, we're starting to see a lot. I'm going to have a guest speaker on one of my podcasts this Friday that's working with, you know, AI and, you know, digital assets and trading and things of that nature and custody, right? So, like, how are these technologies going to come together? How is blockchain and AI going to really push forward things, traditional industries like healthcare, right? You know, supply chain management. I'm really interested as well too in what blockchain is going to do when it comes to, you know, autonomous vehicles and Internet of Things and, you know, farming and drones and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's really kind of futuristic, but a lot of the things that we can think of that maybe, you know, iRobot-ish or super sci-fi, I think that we're a lot closer to that than a lot of people think.
Super cool. There's a recurring theme lately of the intersection between blockchain and AI. So yeah, for sure, a lot of folks are echoing at least that particular element of the sentiment. But yeah, blockchain eating the world. I think that's a phrase we can coerce into the right form. Isla, another topic for a tap room?
Yeah. What have you guys seen happen to salaries in crypto? There was a little bit of a dip, obviously, post FTX. Have you seen that recover? Are people getting the kinds of salaries they used to before? What does the salary landscape look like that you all are seeing when it comes to crypto jobs?
Welcome back again, everybody. We're going to do a couple wrap-up items, but first over to Emily and Trevor to plug their pluggables. Where do you want people to go after they see and or hear you today? Oh, Emily, you're muted again.
I'm so bad at that. Even on like any call, I'm terrible at that. So you can find me on LinkedIn / The Crypto Recruiter. You can find me on Telegram, also The Crypto Recruiter. Instagram, The Crypto Recruiter. You might notice a trend here.
It certainly makes it easy. I love it. Is Trevor still with us or did he dip? There he is. He's back. And Trevor, do you want to point anybody, plug your pluggables?
Yeah, well, you know, we're the Crypto Recruiters. I would love to connect with anyone. The best way to find me is on LinkedIn, Trevor Talley, T-A-L-L-E-Y. There aren't that many of us out there, so I should be pretty easy to find. I would love to connect with anyone and take this conversation offline. Emily and I, we do a lot of educational type of things as well, too. We have different kind of podcasts that we do on LinkedIn. We're starting to get on other different platforms as well, too. We love to do things like what we're doing here today, and also to network as well too offline. So if anyone is interested or looking for tips or pointers of how to connect or want to learn some things, I have a podcast of my own that I do on LinkedIn called Just Shilling, and I interview people from all different companies within the industry, and it gives them the opportunity to talk about how they got into the space, their successes, their failures, and their outlook in the future. And it's a great way to connect with people and potentially as a great way to get into these organizations versus just doing a cold pitch or a cold call.
That's great. And also, I love that you called it Just Shilling. Clearly, he is not afraid to have an SEC target on his back. So. Kudos to you.
I'm taking the word back.
All right. He's reading it. All right. Great. Up next, we mentioned before 10 a.m. Central for 4 years. Man, almost 4 years. You're pretty consistent here. Put it in your calendar. We're going to be talking about AI and how it is failing in health intelligence. What's missing and why? Diffuse Tap in person April 3rd in Chicago with Mr. Petipiece. Also, tomorrow in London. So if you're in, well, London, join us tomorrow. It's down in the city. Telegram group, join it, introduce yourself, say hello. Special thanks to Emily and Trevor for sharing some wisdom and time here today, and everybody else for coming out and meeting each other and doing the networking thing. Thank you so much. Ayla, was that it? I always forget something.
No, that is it.
That's it.
We will see you next week.
All right. Thank you, everybody. See you in a week. Bye. That's all, folks. Hope you learned something new. If you join us on Zoom every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central, you can also network with other fascinating alternative investors from all over the world in small groups of four or five. Learn more on our website at www.diffusefunds.com. Until next time.